Let us pray. Creator and Redeemer God, we thank you so much that you have opened and enlightened the eyes of our hearts to be able to see the invisible reality of your salvation through the message of the gospel. And God, give us a heart that understands the reality of sin and death, the curse that's been put on man because of sin, and that the power of the curse was unable to be broken by our means, but was broken by the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Lord, what a wonderful price that you paid for us with your blood as an expression of mercy, of forgiveness, of love. And so God, allow us to have a longing for continual perfection through the Holy Spirit in your word, through worship, through the fellowship of believers. And allow us to continue to have that longing until we see you with new eyes, to see you in the end of the days, and that we would know you and love you and worship you and proclaim your goodness throughout all generations to the corners of the earth. We thank you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. If you have your Bibles, we invite you to follow along. It'll also be projected on the screen. This is the ESV translation. And it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." This is the reading of God's word. Please be seated. This morning, you might have noticed that we have some fresh faces and some beautiful leading of worship. June is worship month, and this past week, the Lord has blessed our youth ministry to have JAM, which is Jesus and Music, which is a youth music camp that trains our youth to how to lead worship, how to embody Christian character, how to embody Christian service. And we are very, very grateful for New Heart Ministries and the team at JAM to come this year, to come over for this week and train our youth and the youth living nearby and to raise them up to know and to love worship, the worship of our Lord. And so this morning, I'm going to invite two people from JAM. Isaac Tang and John Lee are going to come up. Isaac is going to introduce a little bit about what their ministry does, and our brother John is going to share today's message. So let's welcome them.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Isaac. I'm a staff at New Heart Music Ministries. And New Heart Music Ministries was formed in 1997. And after a few years, we felt the urge to serve the English-speaking congregation. So we brought our New Way team today. New Way is an English ministry of New Heart Music Ministries. And our focus, New Heart vision is to ushering people into the presence of God through music. But New Way is a team that has a focus of equipping the next generation of leaders in worship ministry. Our team is, besides me and John, who are full-time, we have a wonderful team of volunteers and interns and people that went through some of our trainings. And next slide, please. Our team is composed by a group of wonderful musicians, and a lot of them came for JAM. And what do we do besides leading camps? So, if you ever been to JAM, please raise your hand. Okay, thank you. So a lot of people came for these JAM camps. But besides JAMs, what do? We go around with different teams and we serve different churches through leading Sunday services or we do a lot of worship team training. So sometimes we're from Houston, Texas. We drive to different places and fly sometimes to help churches to build their worship teams, and also we lead some concerts of prayers or retreats and JAM. So we're really blessed to be able to serve different communities, and we're really blessed by Rutgers Community Christian Church to embrace us and make us feel at home. And every time we come back here to lead GM, we are more blessed than all of you. And please continue to pray for us. We want to thank you all for all the support and prayers. And if we have a chance to come here again, please come and participate GM concerts or even join us in the GM camp as well. Thank you.
I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be here this morning to worship together with you. It's really a privilege. It is great to be able to see so many people from different generations coming together, to seeing some of the youth and adults in some different cultures as well. And that's really the beauty of worship, is that worship should unite us. It should draw us closer together. It should be a way for us not only to express worship to God, but a way for us to encourage one another and spur each other on to know and to love the Lord more and more each day. And this past week, we have really been blessed by many of you, the youth who came to our camp this past week. It was really an amazing time. From the time when they first started, the first day of camp, many of them did not have worship experience, didn't have any training, or have never led worship before. But just kind of seeing their growth throughout the week and how hard they worked. And then by the end of the week, the concert on Friday night, it was really just a beautiful picture of worship. Because really just seeing their hearts and their spirit and the joy and the excitement, their passion to worship God was really just a great, great encouragement. And for me personally, it was just a great time for me to come before the Lord and worship. So I just want to thank you again for opening just your doors and allowing us to be here. And for feeding us very, very well this past week. Our team was been really, we've been gaining some weight. I think some of us have been gaining some weight. So we decided, like some of us decided to jog a few laps around the parking lot yesterday and play some basketball. And so hopefully we'll be able to fit into our clothes when we return to Houston. But it's again, thank you for the chance to be here. I think one of the great things about worship is that worship is something that God desires, and He created us to worship Him. And it's something that He desires to continue on from one generation to the next generation. And so I'm reminded of Psalm 145, where it says that one generation will commend your works to another. And I think that's what the vision of GM is. We would like to continue to pass on the values of worship and to continue to commend the works and the worthiness of God to the next generation, to future generations, so that we can continue to see them rise up in offering not just their songs to God, but offering their lives to God. Let me pray for us, and then I'm going to jump into the message for today. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for your great love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were enemies of the cross, that you sent your one and only Son to die for us. And we thank you, Jesus, because you have come and you have laid aside your kingly crown, and you have come to this earth to take upon yourself a crown of thorns, to bear our suffering, to bear our shame, our guilt on the cross, so that we can have eternal, abundant life. And this morning we pray that we would just fix our eyes on you. We pray that the truth of your word would pierce our hearts and cause us to respond to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a movie that came out in 1991 called Chariots of Fire. It was about the life of a very famous Scottish athlete named Scott Liddell. Scott Liddell was born in China to missionary parents, and he grew up in England. And at a very early age, he had many athletic gifts. And so he would play rugby or he'd play different sports. And he always excelled when it came to sports. And the thing that he really excelled in was in running in races and running competitions. And so he would enter many races and he would win many competitions. And for him, he saw running as his way to glorify and to worship God. Running for him was the calling that God gave to him. And this is what he said. He said, I believe that God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. And so after being very successful in many races, he was actually selected to represent Great Britain in the 1924 Olympics. And a couple of months before the race, the Olympics were to begin, he learns that the 100 meters, which is his strongest race, he learns that that race was scheduled to be on a Sunday. His first heat was scheduled to be on a Sunday. And so he refuses to run the race. And the reason why was because that he believed that Sunday was the day of Sabbath. It was a day that God was calling him to set aside for worship and to rest. And so when people found out that he decided to skip this race, many people were really surprised. And some people were even upset. But for Scott Liddell, many people saw that he gave up an opportunity to one race. But for him, he saw a greater, more glorious race. He saw that the calling and the prize of honoring God through his faith was greater than the prize of Olympic fame and Olympic glory. I'm reminded of Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, where Paul says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We are called to press on toward the goal. There's this idea that we are straining forward towards the prize. We are straining forward with a singular focus, and that focus is Jesus Christ. And we strain forward, we press on to win the prize. And the prize that we strain forward for is an eternal prize. It's not a temporal prize. It's not something that is fleeting, but it's an eternal prize. It's the prize that is incorruptible. We are running for an incorruptible crown. For all of us, we've been given a calling. And your greatest calling this day is not to be a student or an engineer or a doctor or a parent or a spouse, but the greatest calling that we've been given is to know and to follow Jesus. And to know and to follow Jesus demands all of our affection, our attention, and our will. And I love the part in the song, Christ is Enough, where it says that I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. And so this kind of summarizes our goal, our purpose, that as we leave behind the things of this world, the temporary things, the things that don't last, but yet we strain forward towards the goal of knowing Jesus Christ. We are all in a race, and it is the greatest and most glorious race that you will ever run, because it is a lifelong race. And how you run this race has an outcome. The outcome of this race has implications for all of eternity. And the prize is heaven and the joy of Jesus himself. And of one day being in the presence of Jesus and him welcoming you into heaven with open arms and saying, well done, good and faithful servant. At home, we don't have any pets, but my wife and I, we do have 5 potted plants in our home. And they do require a certain amount of tending to. And this past semester, my wife is a teacher, and we've been pretty busy with things. And so there are times when we notice that the plants are not very happy. Okay, and it's pretty obvious when the plants are happy. Especially there's this one plant that we have that the leaves like completely droop. And as soon as you water them, within a couple of hours, the leaves will come back up. But the plants have not been very happy. And the one thing we've noticed is that without really tending to those plants, without caring for them, without really watering them on a consistent basis, they do not do very well. And I think sometimes for us as Christians, sometimes we feel like we're just barely surviving, right? And so we come on Sundays to feel like that's the time when we have to really nourish our souls, to spend time in the presence of God and with other believers. But the question I'm going to challenge us with today is not just to survive the Christian life, but how do we thrive in the Christian life? How do we really live a life that is really pursuing Jesus, a life that really experiences his power and experiences his joy? And so the passage that we read earlier, this one has really been a great passage for me personally because it has really inspired me and given me a renewed sense of purpose and vision for my life. And so I'm going to read it again for us. This is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In this text, I believe that there are three challenges that will help us to thrive and to run the great and glorious race. And the first thing that we see from this passage is that it tells us to throw off everything that hinders us. To throw off. And when I think of the word, this phrase, to throw off, I think of a person who does the shot put in the Olympics. And I don't know if you've ever picked up a shot put before, but it's not light. It's actually 16 pounds. And so in order to throw the shot put, it requires a lot of force, a lot of energy. And so as Christians, we are called to throw off, to exert energy and force, to throw off everything that hinders us. Everything that hinders is anything that is a burden in our lives, anything that's an encumbrance in our lives, anything that feels like a weight in our lives, anything that weighs us down, anything really that keeps us from moving closer to God. It could be things from our past. It could be past hurts or things that have been done to us or maybe even by us. It can be things that we can't seem to shake. Sins, addictions, fear, pride, selfishness. We are called to throw off everything that hinders us. Last Christmas, I decided to buy my wife a Fitbit watch. I don't know how many of you have that, but the Fitbit is kind of the new health thing. If you want to try to be healthy, and what the Fitbit does is that it tracks many different things. And it tracks the number of steps you take. It tracks your heart rate, the distance of how far you've walked, the number of calories you've burned, and even tracks how well you sleep at night. And so my wife has been wanting something like that for a while, so I buy that for her. And she uses it, and it's a great tool that helps to kind of give her a picture of her lifestyle and if she's being healthy or not. But the question I want to ask is, how often do we track our spiritual health? If I were to ask you, how's your spiritual health doing today? How would you answer that question? In order to track our spiritual health, I believe the first step that we need to take is examination. That we need to examine our hearts daily and to ask ourselves, is there anything in my life that is keeping me from drawing closer to God? And then the next step would be confession, that we would confess anything, any sin in our lives before God, that we would lay it down before him, and that we would also believe that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to give us a new start. I believe that the moment that we cry out to God, the moment that we confess to him, I believe God will hear your cry and he will answer and he will restore you. And then the final step is repentance. Repentance is to turn away, not only to turn away from something, to stop doing something, but to move towards something better. If you're only to wear a Fitbit and to track your steps and to track your heart rates, but you never worry about your diets, or you never take steps to exercise or to live a more active lifestyle, the Fitbit's not going to do you a lot of good. But I believe that as we take steps of confession, examination, confession, and repentance, that God will restore our spiritual lives. Sin is easy, but righteousness is hard. We must be intentional about how we live the Christian life. We are in a great and glorious race, and so we are called to throw off everything and anything that weighs you down. And the second thing we see from the text today is that we are called to run with perseverance. Perseverance means to be steadfast. It means to not be easily swerved or moved from a purpose. For those of you who've run a marathon before, okay, I've never run one personally, but I would think that the most essential quality of a marathon runner is not strength and it's not speed, but it's endurance. It's perseverance. I remember there's a time in my life a few years back when I was running a few 5Ks. And the 5Ks, it's a little bit over 3 miles. And those 5Ks were fairly easy. So it didn't require a lot of training. And so I would run these 5Ks. And then one day I decided, okay, I've ran a couple 5Ks. I'm ready for the 10K. And so the morning of the 10K, I get up. And Houston, it's May in Houston. If you know anything about Houston, is that the weather gets really warm in May. But on this particular morning, it was very unusual. It was about 50 degrees, and it was raining. There was light rain. And so this race, whether rain or sunshine, the race always goes on, right? And so I thought to myself, you know, I paid my $35. There's no way I'm missing out on this, you know. So running, went to the race, began the race, and it's a 10K, but I ran this race like a 5K. So as soon as the race starts, I take off, and I run as, you know, really good speed. And I realized about a little bit over 4 miles into the race, I realized that I'd hit what we call the runner's wall. And that's when your lungs feel like they're burning and your legs start to feel like cement. And because it was raining and I was not really dressed appropriately, my arms were really numb from the rain and the cold. And I realized that I had this urge, like I just wanted to stop. I just wanted to quit the race. I just wanted to walk. But by God's grace, I kept going at a, you know, slower tempo, at a slower speed, but I was able to finish the race. But as Christians, we must remember that the race that we've been called to run is not a sprint, but rather it's a marathon. It's a lifelong journey to pursue Christ. And so the question we ask today then is, how do we persevere? How do we run this race with endurance? And the first thing I would submit is that we run the race that God has marked out for you. Run the race that God has marked out for you. Don't look at the person who's running behind you or the person who's running in front of you. We're all in different stages in our faith journey. And sometimes some people may be going ahead, some people may be behind, but don't compare yourself to someone else. And I know that as Christians, it's easy for us to do that. But run the race that God has marked out for you. Be faithful to wherever God has put you right now. Be a good steward of your resources, your time, and your talents. Number two, how do we persevere? We anticipate that there will be hills and obstacles in our Christian walk. A couple years ago, my friend also asked me, he invited me to join this race called the Tough Mudder. And he told me, yeah, this is like, you know, it's about 10 miles. And I was like, okay, maybe I can do that, maybe. And he tells me that, oh, there's also fire involved. And you have to run through fire and barbed wire. That changed everything for me at that point. And so I was not so enthusiastic. And when I looked up this race, apparently they not only have fire and barbed wire, but they have electricity. They have dumpsters that are filled with ice water that you have to jump into and run through. Apparently some of these races also have tunnels with tear gas. And I'm just like, no, thank you. I will pass. And oftentimes in our Christian life, we don't choose the trials. We don't choose to go through difficulties or obstacles in our lives. But we will all face obstacles and difficulties. We will all go through sweats and tears. There'll be times when we feel the heartache. We will feel the burning in our lungs and we will want to quit. But my challenge to you today is that you would let these hills and obstacles not push you farther away from Jesus, but that these obstacles will move you closer to Jesus, that you would run to him and that you would cling to him and that you would depend on him. How else do we persevere? We also persevere by surrounding ourselves with like-minded people. Surround yourselves with like-minded people that can keep you accountable, that can help you to stick with the plan, people who can motivate you, who can support you in your walk. Another way that we can persevere is learning to wait upon the Lord, learning to wait. There are times in our lives when the answers are not so clear, and sometimes God just wants us to patiently wait upon him and to trust that he is God, to trust that he is sovereign and that he is good. We also can build endurance through prayer and be rooted in God's word, be rooted in truth. It's the essential part of the Christian life is prayer and the word of God. And as we immerse ourselves in prayer and learn the word of God and learn God's heart to know who God is through his word, we will be able to persevere in this race. We will be able to run with perseverance. We are all in a great and glorious race. We run with perseverance. We are called to run with perseverance. But there is one more thing. And there's this one thing more than anything else that will help us to run this race well. Back in New Heart, we have a music school. And part of my ministry at New Heart is to teach violin lessons. I'm a violin teacher. And one of the great challenges for me and probably for those of you who teach private lessons is to get your students to practice. And it's a very difficult thing. And so I have always been thinking of ways like, how do I get my students to practice? And so oftentimes they'll come to lesson really unprepared, and I'll have to make them play the piece over and over and over and over again. And so one day my wife told me, why don't you have some prizes? And I was like, that's a great idea. And so I started this treasure chest. In this treasure chest, I filled it with different little small prizes and stickers and all kinds of things. And I brought it into the room and I showed my students. I said, here is the prize. But you can only get this prize if you practice and you learn your piece and you memorize it next week. And if you can do that, if you play the piece well, if you memorize it, then you'll get to choose a prize out of the treasure chest. And the next week, amazingly, the students come fully prepared, able to play through the music by memory. And it's amazing what a prize can do to motivate children to practice. But for us as Christians, what is the prize? What is the motivation for us? What is that one thing that will drive us and help us to run this race well? It is to know Jesus and to fix our eyes on him. In verse 1, the end of verse 1, it says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Now, some of your versions may, there may be different versions of pioneer and perfecter, but in the New International Version says that Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And when I think about this idea of fixing our eyes on Jesus, I think of the story in Matthew 14 where Peter sees Jesus walking to the boat in the middle of the night, and where Jesus beckons Peter to take a step out of the boat. And the amazing thing is, when Peter sees Jesus and he knows that it's Jesus who's walking towards him, he does take a step out of the boat and he begins to walk on water. But then, as soon as his eyes leave Jesus and he begins to see the waves and hears the wind around him, he begins to sink. And so I believe that as Christians, that the one thing that will help us to run this race is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, that our vision would be solely fixed on him. I love the hymn, "Be Thou My Vision." And in the first verse of this song, it says, "Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light." Jesus is the light that guides us as we run this race. And Jesus is the pioneer of faith. He is the one who has gone where no one has gone before. He's the one who has done things that no one in history has ever done before. And that is because he is God. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For by him, for by Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him, and all things were created for him." Jesus is the pioneer. He is the creator, not only of this world, but he is the one who initiated the faith in our hearts. He is the one who plants the seed in us to know him, to know our creator, and to worship him. Jesus is also the author of faith. Some translations say the author, and I love this idea that Jesus is the author of faith. Because in your life, in our faith journey, in our story of faith, that people may make decisions, but are reminded that Jesus is the one who's writing your story. That people may do things to you and you may face difficulties, but remember that Jesus is the author of your faith. He is the one who writes the beginning, he is the one who writes the middle, and he is the one who writes the end. Jesus is also the perfecter of your faith. Faith is your most precious gift. It can be fragile, but it's meant to be refined in the fire, and it is a gift from God. And ultimately, Jesus is the one who imparts righteousness to us, and he is the one who will carry our faith on to completion as we fix our eyes on him. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, we'll be able to face the obstacles of life with joy. And I love the last part of this text in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, that says, "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Yes, when Jesus went to the cross, he suffered and bled and endured pain for us. But he didn't just suffer and endure pain, but he also experienced joy. And I love this because this paints this picture that it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross, that he followed and became obedient to the will of his Father. And so when, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, we can also do so with great joy. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, the distractions of life will lose their appeal, and sin will not have power over us. And finally, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, we will be able to renew our strength and not grow weary, as it tells us in verse 3. For some of us, and I've experienced this in my life, there's times when I've wanted to drop out of this race, to give up. And so, for some of us who may be experiencing that today, I encourage you, I say to you today, consider Him. Sometimes the race feels like it's too far, or the hills feel like they're too steep, but consider Him. Sometimes there's a burning in our lungs, there's sweat and there's tears in our eyes, but remember to consider Him. Whether in sunshine or in rain, fix your eyes on Jesus. Make Jesus your goal and your prize. Delight in Him and treasure Him because it is worth it. Isaiah chapter 40 says that even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Eric Liddell, after the Olympics in 1924, he returned to China. And the year following, so in 1925, he returned to China as a missionary to teach and to serve the poor. And although Eric Liddell was famous for his athletic accomplishments, his true passion was to become a missionary. It was to do missionary work. And in 1943, however, he was taken into a Japanese concentration camp. And because of the harsh living conditions while in the concentration camp, he developed a brain tumor, and he died while in captivity in 1945. And one of the fellow missionaries recounted the last moments of Eric Liddell's life and said that his final words were, "It's complete surrender. It's complete surrender." In 2008, just before the Beijing Olympics, the Chinese authorities actually revealed that Eric Liddell had refused an opportunity to leave the camp, and instead he gave his place to a pregnant woman. And apparently the Japanese and British had agreed upon a prisoner exchange. And so Eric Liddell had a chance to have his freedom, but rather he chose the difficult path. And he did so because he had his eyes fixed on Jesus, that he was willing to run the great and glorious race. He ran many races in his life. He won the 400 meters at the Olympics. He was one of the most famous Olympic athletes that ever lived. But I believe that there was only one great and glorious race that he ran. And so my challenge to us today is that we would run this great and glorious race. Run the race that God has marked out for you. Throw off everything that may be weighing you down. Run with perseverance and keep your eyes fixed on Christ. Let us pray. God, we thank you once again that you have been the one to plant the seed of faith in our hearts, and that we can come before you with freedom, with joy, because you're the God who created us and loved us and called us to a great and glorious purpose. And this purpose is to not live for ourselves, but to live for the one who died and rose again on our behalf. And God, may you help us this morning to fix our eyes on Jesus, because he is the author and perfecter of our faith. It was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father, that even now, Jesus, you are glorious and exalted, that you are alive, and that one day you will be coming back for us. And Lord, so may we live this life in a way that will please and honor you, so that we will stand unashamed in heaven one day with all the saints worshiping you, surrendering our lives to you, giving you glory, giving you praise for all of eternity. Jesus, we thank you that it is by your blood that you have redeemed us. You have purchased us from slavery, and you have given us life. You have purchased our freedom so that we can spend eternity with you. And we thank you in your name.